Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz, and today I'm here with Sarah from Blenders. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Biz. Thanks for having me.
Sarah's our first person to come on to the podcast for the second time.
All right. Yay for first. The new year too, so
yeah,
feels fresh.
So for those who are listening who didn't listen to the first podcast with you, can you just give us a lowdown of what Blenders is and what Blenders does?
Sounds great. Blenders is one of the first zero waste, zero export textile recyclers, I believe in North America. And that means we take secondhand clothing and textiles from other thrift stores and from the public, and we make it available to our community through pay by the pound. And then we recycle, like we'll create new products and in-house in Edmonton. And so that means there are no exports and no landfill. We have very, very little waste, and this is something that doesn't happen in the textile recycling or secondhand industry yet. So we're very excited to be doing this.
So we'll get back into exports in a little bit here. But when we talked to you last time, I think you were just transitioning out of your garage. So what's been happening since then?
Oh man, it's been awesome. It's been really great. So we moved into a 2,000 square foot warehouse. And from there, we operated out of there for about 9 or 10 months. And we saved 81 tons of textile waste from going to the landfill or being exported. I did the statistics, and this is about 13 Olympic sized swimming pools, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I try to visualize it in like sea can type of containers, or like if I'm sitting somewhere and I look at a building, I'm like, wow. So how many stories tall would that be full of clothing and bedding and fabric that we reclaimed and put back into the community and or made into new products in Edmonton? Is a lot.
Yeah. And that's just the stuff you catch, right? Like,
yeah.
How much of doesn't get caught and ends up going to the landfill anyway?
So much. We're such a small part of the overall volume that's happening in Edmonton, let alone Canada, North America. Like, we're just such a small part. So we're taking stuff from two small thrift stores. Sometimes we'd add another one, but really the volume was a lot. So we process about 3,000 pounds a week, and that would go into our pay by the pound and recycling flow.
That's a ridiculous amount. And that's, you said two thrift stores? Just two?
Yeah. Well, yeah. One was like a charity. So they supplied shelters and stuff like that. So we were getting the runoff from shelters. So I would have people ask me, well, why don't, you know, donate it to shelters or, and the stuff we were getting was from shelters, like really nice stuff, jackets and mitts. So it was a very interesting situation.
Yeah. People think that donating their clothing to a shelter is like a solution, but
yeah,
there's so much overflow. Yeah. Do you have any idea how many thrift stores there are in the city?
I do not, to be honest. I know the major brands, but I haven't actually counted how many there are. That would be very somewhat easy calculation to do because it's all on Google. And I know from talking to the folks at Goodwill that stuff on the floor only stays there for 4 weeks and then it gets exported.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're back to export. So, oh my word, there are so many. I just Googled thrift stores and I'm not even covering the entire city and I'm already seeing like 20 of them.
Yeah.
That's such a small portion and it's so much stuff. Okay, so let's talk about exporting.
Okay. I think thrift stores are great. I think the circular economy is amazing. I think that's what we need. But most thrift stores, the big ones, export. And a lot of the smaller ones do as well.
So when you say export, where do they go?
Yeah, so what happens is they will try to sell the stuff that gets donated to them that is in reasonable condition, as they deem it. And after 4 weeks, they can't sell it. And along with the stuff that they don't even put on the floor, they'll just bag it up and exporters will come and pick it up with like a 20-foot trailer or whatever kind of containers they have. And they will hand bomb it. They call it hand bombing. They'll just like throw the garbage bags into the truck and they'll just pack like 4,000, 6,000, 10,000 pounds of it, however many times a week. And then they'll truck it to the sorting locations. There's quite a few larger sorting locations in Ontario. So I think Goodwill, Value Village, Salvation Army, their stuff goes to Ontario. The smaller exporters, well, I don't even know about smaller, but the independent exporters will come, and I know of a couple that just ship it straight to Vancouver. And then from Vancouver, they will export it from there. But most of our exporting happens from Ontario.
Okay. And where are we exporting these things to?
Yeah, you can look up the stats from Stats Can. In a previous life, I was a certified customs compliance specialist. And so I learned a lot about export classification codes. And they classify secondhand clothing as rags. So if you look up rag exports on the Stats Can website or for exports, which is very interesting, Canada exports it a lot to the US. And then secondly, we export it to Pakistan. I'm always very perplexed about the Canada to US export. But when you look at the industry, the majority of the industry is owned by Goodwill, Value Village, and Salvation Army. And a lot of those places, they're US based, right? So They just ship it down there and then they export it. It's a little bit more difficult to get into the granular detail of who is actually exporting, like what the company names are of the exporters. You can find it, but when you change from like Goodwill Industries Alberta to a Goodwill Exporters, it's difficult to follow the supply chain and find out exactly what happens. So it seems a little bit shady, to be honest.
Hmm. Okay, so why would they export it? Like, why not just send it to landfill?
Well, exporting, they actually make money on it. So exporters are buying this stuff pennies on the pound, right? Like, it's not even dollars on the pound. So they'll just buy it in bulk. And so they buy it for super cheap. And when you landfill stuff, you have to pay for it. So,
right.
Yeah, if Goodwill was, or if a thrift store was landfilling it, they would have to pay a tipping fee or an eco fee or whatever it is to like actually dump it in the landfill, or a recycling fee. But this way that they're actually making money. So I'm very interested to know how much of their money actually comes from exports versus retail sales back into the community, because I think they export a lot more than they sell locally.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure that most of the stuff they get just goes in and goes out again.
Yep.
Yep. I feel like I used to have this idea in my brain that thrift shopping was good. But now I'm like, do I really want to give my money to these businesses? It's so sketchy.
Yeah, it is.
They give you this impression that you're repurposing your clothing and giving it a second life, and that you're not just throwing it out. But really, like, who wants it? Like, who's buying it? Who wants these extra clothes? And is that good? Like, on the receiving end, whoever finally ends up with that pile of used clothing?
Yeah, I've spoken to reporters at CBC, and they've tried to follow this path, like, all the way down. And it's very difficult because it's a little bit sketchy. Like, the Eastern African countries have banned the imports of secondhand clothing. So the country actually doesn't want it. But there is a black market for it. Or there is still a market for it. Like there's still a demand from some people. So there are tricks that companies use at the border to get the clothing through at a lower price. And I mean, this could be said for any commodity. I mean, the trade of rags has been around for a long, long time. So, you know, the tricks are probably as old as time as well. But yeah, in terms of like who wants it and is it good and is it getting to where it's supposed to go? I think it's very complicated. And I think there is so much of it that we could be doing better in North America as a solution instead of just getting rid of it, dumping it in other countries.
Right.
Because, I mean, I think that's just the biggest problem is the volume of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if it was happening in smaller volumes or more controlled, I don't, it feels very complicated.
We need more Sarahs and blenders out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think at one point, and I would like to think the best of every company and every person that at one point, it was a good thing, right? Like Value Village started out to give low cost clothing to the community and then it grew and grew and grew. And I think they still do that. And I think each one of these secondhand shops and thrift stores, they do good things with their money, except there are still things that are happening that might not align with a lot of ethics and morals in terms of the disposal of the excess and some of the prices and margins and some of the business models, maybe not.
Yeah, they certainly don't give you the impression that they're sending 90% of what you give them to other countries that don't really want them.
Yeah, and well, then other countries have different, I mean, we're very privileged in North America. They might not have the choice to say no, they sort of have to take it all or not take anything. So they get, you know, they'll get the winter jackets and the boots and all the crap and the garbage that isn't really usable.
Okay, so
the industry just seems kind of messed up.
But you are trying to follow a new model that doesn't, that does try to keep as little as possible out of the landfill and keep it within the community. So what is it that you do to do that?
Yeah, so I feel like this excess clothing and textiles is a real resource. And I feel like there is just so much of it that is literally going in the garbage here in Edmonton and overseas that something better could be done with it. So what I do, we take all the excess clothing in. And we do buy it. We do have to compete with exporters. So we sort of get into that supply chain and we take some of it out and we keep it here. And we offer the clothing really cheap, like $1.99 a pound. And it's all sort of just put on the tables and you can go through it and buy it by the pound. And so that means like a dollar for a pair of jeans, 60 cents for a t-shirt, that kind of thing. Just like, we just want these clothes to be used and worn.
Right.
And, you know, have a life.
Yeah. And I got one of the boxes from you, which I thought was great because my little niece is 6 months old and kids grow so fast. So I got a box of clothing for 6 to 12 months and I picked out what I liked and I sent the rest back. And for a minimal amount, I was able to get 7 outfits versus going and buying a new outfit for like $50. So it was less money for way more stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the other thing we do. We don't want to. Yeah. Yeah. And in those boxes too, like, so there's like a couple dozen items in those boxes. And yeah, we take back what you don't want because we don't want to just follow the global model on a small scale and dump clothes in people's house to get rid of them. So yeah, we're really trying to promote this like circular model where the box of clothing can go to your house. You choose what you want and then we'll come and get it again because maybe somebody else has different taste or, you know, and it's so fascinating. A lot of people ask like, well, why can't the boxes be a certain style and this and that? And it's really, really interesting. Everybody has a different style and everybody has a different body shape or different interests and skill levels to style the clothes. It's just so cool that people get these boxes of clothing too. And they're like, oh, I never would have thought I would have wore that, but I put it on and I loved it. So yeah, the boxes are what doesn't sell at the pay by the pound. So that means every week there is new inventory being added to the pay by the pound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So everything that doesn't sell gets packed up into boxes and then we sell those online and we will deliver them. And it's a big box. It's 16 by 16 by 16.
It is a big box. There was a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah. Yeah. The baby boxes we made smaller. They're 16 by 8. So they're half size just because a lot of items can go in a 16 cube.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby boxes, we made the sizes smaller too, just because babies grow so fast. So
yeah,
but like there's just so much stuff.
There's so much stuff. Yeah, it blows my mind. It blows my mind. But it's so hard. So that's the clothing that is good. Like that's still wearable. Yeah. What about the stuff that's not wearable?
So the stuff that's not wearable, that is our recycling, our actual recycling components. So what we do is our first stream would be some of our craft projects. So like we pull out anything stretchy and we'll pull out yarn, like brand new hand knitted things and dress shirts and denim, and those go into our craft projects. So crafters, like home crafters or small businesses, will buy these boxes of sheets or fleece or these different types of materials that we have. And again, this is a big 16 cube box and they're all $20. Well, most of our boxes are $20. And so those ones, we'll pull out all those materials and make them available for makers. So those are sorted out. And then after that, everything that we're going to shred or remake in-house goes through a sanitization process. So we use like a wet sanitization, which basically just means like washing with hot water and detergents and like bleach. But yeah, we're fundraising right now for a commercial washer because we were washing 300 pounds of clothes a day. And our little washing machine wasn't able to keep up with it.
Just like a home washing machine?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got an upgrade since then?
Yeah. We are working on it right now. We're doing the fundraiser through ATB and then also you can donate on our webpage.
I've been trying to share it like crazy.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, we're doing okay. I did it during Christmas, so that was kind of tricky.
Yeah.
It's already a very stressful time for people financially, so yeah. I don't know. But we're aiming to open in March, so I'm trying to get everything I can together before we open our processing up again.
So reopening in March in a new place because you had your 2,000 square foot warehouse and now you're in you're going to an even bigger location.
Yeah. So double the size. It was great. Like our old location was the first time we ever tried this. We didn't know if the concept would work and it did. There was a lot of demand for it and it worked. It worked pretty well. But we found that we didn't have the space capacity. So every week we were switching over from pay by the pound to then our processing. So we were, doing the sanitization, doing the disassembly, doing the shredding, packing the boxes, deliveries, stuff like that. And then we'd put it all away by Thursday, run some classes, and then set it all up again for Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That sounds exhausting.
It was. Our volunteers were amazing. It still is a very physical operation. And customers wanted us to be open during the week. And we were turning away customers. We decided that was silly and that we needed to get a bigger place so we could be open, seven days a week and continue recycling.
So you could have processing and somewhere for people to do classes and buy clothing that's per pound.
Yeah.
So you're in the process of switching over right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything is in storage. It's just shoved in my friend's storage facility. He has a small warehouse and it's just packed full of our furniture and our inventory. I have some of the stuff with me at my home. The garage is, again, we're using the garage for the boxes. Also, I have stuff for the classes. So we're able to do delivery boxes and classes while we're in between spaces.
Well, okay, cool. And so you're getting a new industrial washer. Are you getting any other equipment for your new place?
Yeah, so super excited about this as well. The, I don't even know, third or fourth thing we do with unusable clothing is we actually break it down further and we will shred it. So after it's sanitized, we disassemble it. So we'll take off all the zippers, the buttons, stuff like that, if it can't be repaired. If it can be repaired or remade, it'll go into that stream and we'll do those things with it and sell it in our boutiques. But if it can't and it's just done, then we shred it or disassemble it for fabrics. And from that, we'll make different crafting kits and we'll make our poofs. Yeah, so very excited. We needed to upgrade our shredder again because it wasn't quite at the capacity that we needed it to be at to be economical, I guess. We were spending a lot of time and labor shredding, so we needed upgraded machinery. We're working with a company out of Montreal who's worked on a pilot project with Sports Check and the Government of Canada. They're currently doing a pilot project to see if they can do a take back program, recycling program. So this machinery manufacturer has been working on that project. So I'm really excited to work with him and get a little bit of insight, knowledge on what's working, what's not working, what machines work and the textile recycling. It can be quite intense, but we're trying to build it up organically where there's a product for every sort of stage.
Right.
Because the machinery is insanely expensive.
I imagine, especially since it's not like common, so they're not pumping them out by the hundreds.
Yeah. And a lot of it's, exactly. It's custom. So the larger stuff, it's like $1 million equipment.
Yeah.
That doesn't fit with our business model. Like, we're not consolidating equipment to process, 600 pounds an hour or 600, 60 pounds a minute or whatever, or even more. I don't know. It's crazy. That just doesn't fit with our model.
No, you're very localized. Like, that would be,
yeah,
that would be a very large scale operation.
Yeah, because what we want to do is also cut down on carbon emissions and moving goods around.
Right.
And just creating more of a community. I don't want to say community center. It seems hokey, but,
I mean, but it is.
Yeah, Blenders is awesome that way. We do have like a lot of people that just come to Blenders and meet with like-minded people. We have lots of volunteers and we all sort of believe in the same thing. And we just, it's so awesome. It's so amazing. The people
are
great.
I'm so glad that you guys are bustling and growing and because you're doing great things. And I tell people about you all the time.
Thanks. It's not easy. People say to me, I'm like crazy to do this. And it's not something you really get rich with. And honestly, it's been all my personal money up until... up until recently, I've been doing the crowdfunder, so that's been really good. And we'll be taking out some loans for the expansion, and that's really scary for me. I mean, I don't mind losing money I have, but losing future money?
Yeah.
really scary.
No, I totally get that. Totally get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. So Alia will continue to share Blenders with people, and look forward to seeing where this goes. Because you're still growing.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Where can people find you?
We're online. So you can Google us and you'll find, we show up on Google. We do not have an address on there right now, just because we are in transition. So I took it off because there is nowhere to drop off items right now, and that's what people are looking for a lot. So I took that off right now. And then, yeah, we have our website is blendersgarmentrecyclers.com.
And you're on Instagram, where I see you all the time.
Yeah.
Which is also Blenders Garment Recyclers with underscores, I think.
Blenders with a Z underscore Garment Recyclers.
With a Z. Very important. But it makes it really easy to find you. As soon as you put that set on there, you pop right up.
Oh, yeah. And we're on Facebook as well. And we have some classes coming up. We've got a poof class coming up. So I'm excited. I'm getting all the machines ready and making sure that they're all running smoothly and they've all got their bits. That's a poof class. And you can register for that on our website.
Okay, so they can find classes.
And don't forget to contribute to the campaign to help us get this recycling machinery.
Yes, everyone chip in. Every little bit counts. It's really important. We need to all come together and reduce this ridiculous amount of waste that comes through the textile world. I will share your campaign yet again. I imagine you're probably getting close to the end now.
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties in the first week, so we're going to extend it for another week. And
oh, good.
I think, yeah, Global News was going to do a segment, so we'll try and hit them up for the last week now that we're in the new year.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Again.
Thank you for having me. Again.
Thank you to all our listeners and our patrons on Patreon. They help with all of the background stuff that Waste Free Edmonton does. Thank you to Change Toothpaste for supporting the expenses of running this podcast, because it's not free to do and we are all volunteers here. If you want to get a hold of us here at Becoming Less, you can find us at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at becominglesspod, or go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.
I'll do whatever you want. Just like...